Okay, Tov World, today's daf in Masechet Gittin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Mem Aleph, and we're holding at the Mishnah, the Halakha Mishnah, on daf Mem Amud Beit, and we're talking, continuing with the issues of Tikkun Olam, so that we have a perek full of various takanot that have been made, either in the dinim of Gittin primarily. We also put in Shemitah and Prusbel and a number of other issues, but we've been focusing primarily on issues of Gittin and Gitte Shichur or Dinim of Avodim, because after all, the Torah has created a fundamental equivalence between the Dinim of Gittin and the Dinim of Avodim, simply by using the Gzera Shava of La, Chufsha Lo Nitan La, the Katav La, Sefer Kritut. So today we're learning in our Mishnah, Evicha Asa'o Rabo Hapotikil Achirin. Now, this Mishnah is one of Rebbe's ingenious creations in which you have absolutely no idea what it's talking about because you don't know to whom the pronoun is referring. And because of that, you have completely different approaches to the Mishnah. I mean, it's amazing. And all of them make perfectly good sense based on different premises. And this, of course, was the beautiful focus of Rebbe to be able to allow Torah Shebaal Peh to be as completely open as possible because it's meant to be the developing Baal Peh. That's the whole point. So don't attempt to make too much sense of the Mishnah as we first read it. And the Gemara is going to try to pull it apart in various directions. So now just getting our terms straight. Anapotiki, of course, is obviously not Lashon HaKodesh. However, we turn it into Lashon HaKodesh. It's a Greek word, which, by the way, is a contemporary word. It's actually still used, at least in legalese, it's used. So an apotiki, which is nowadays spelled with an H because of the Greek, so it's hypotik. But an apotiki is turned into Lashon HaKodesh by turning it into the Aramaic apo tehe koi. That when you have a she'ibud, where normally when you hold a lien, the lien would be chal, if you make a loan, on everything that the person owns. And there we often write, actually, in the shtar, kol nechasai achra'in v'arva'in. That means that you do not have an apotiki. It means all of your nechasim are equally open to tvi'ah for this loan or for whatever it is that you owe. In this case, you made an apotiki. An apotiki is a specific mortgage where, let's say, you have a mechanic's lien. A mechanic's lien is only on the car that the mechanic worked on. That's an apotiki. Well, you can make an apotiki, apotekoi. I want this to be only on this, meaning you have a right to go directly to this to be paid back. And you don't have to fight for discovery. This is yours. And if it was sold to someone else, you collect out of this one that you have your rights to with your pre-existing lien. And this lien does not need to be proven. So now the question is, if you went ahead, I don't know who you is, but whoever it is that went ahead and was Meshachrer the Eved, then Shurat Adin, look, I mean, if you're taking a look at the strict interpretation of the halacha, so then obviously, Ein HaEved Chayev Klum. It's not the Eved's problem over here to have to pay. Ela mipnei tikkun ha'olam, kofin et rabo, ose oto ben chorin, v'kotev shtar al damav. But because of the tikkun olam, as I said, none of this makes sense, and we're going to explain it in the Gemara in a moment, we force the rabo, we don't even know who that is. Is that the guy that collected the eved? Is that the guy that had written the eved as the shibud for the apotiki? Who knows? And then the eved apparently writes the shtar as an indebtedness, and as I work, I'll work my way out of the debt I owe you for freeing me. And that's up to the Eved. Whereas Reb Shimon Gamliel, no. Why would the Eved write anything? The Kotev is only the Mishachrer, the guy who gave the Get Shechrur. He's the one that writes the shtar to pay for that. What in the world? Doesn't make any sense at all. Okay, so says the Gemara, let's try to figure out what we're talking about over here. Eved Chaso Rabo Apotekim Shechrur. Who? What? Where? Mi shichru, I understand. Who is the one that was Meshachru the Eved? Omer Rav. It's talking about over here. the original owner who had made him the apotheke, who owed the money, that original owner went ahead and freed his eved. So shurat adin, ena eved chayav klum l'rabo sheni. Now, if he freed the eved and he messed up the other guy's ability to collect the eved, as we'll see in a moment, how that would work. And Gavi came just at the right moment because he has to write down this klal, which I think we already did in Psachim. I remember asking him to write it down, but just to make sure. The Omar Rava, the reason that he messed up the apotheke, how can you mess up an apotheke? I don't understand. So what did you do? You were Meshachar the Eved, so the heck with your Shechrur. You didn't have a right to be Meshachar because you had already committed yourself to utilizing this Eved for repayment of a loan. Ah, but because Rava said, okay, here, Gavi, is what to write. Hegdesh, Chometz, Veshichrur, or Mafki'in, Bidei She'ibud. So even though there is a lien, and normally the whole meaning of a lien is that the person who owns the lien would have a right to override anything that you did to the detriment of the lien. There's three cases where that's not true. One is if you were Magdish, this thing, Kedushas Haguf, as Rashi explains, to Hegdesh. So then if you made, let's say, your Pora an apotheke and you gave it as a carbon, the guy can't come and say, hey, wait a minute, give that back to me, it's my Pora. Because Hegdesh is Mafkia Ashibud. And our case is Shichrur. If you wrote a get Shichrur to an Eved that was an apotheke to somebody else, the somebody else, in this case, the Rabbo Hasheni, we're calling, the somebody else cannot come along and say, hey, you had no right to be Meshachrer him because I have this Shibud on him. Nope. Actually, even though you have an apotheke, the Shichrur takes off the lien. And the other case is the case of Chometz B'Pesach. The case of Chometz B'Pesach is where there was money that you owed to this goy. You made your chometz, an apotheke, to the goy, but you didn't move the chometz to the goy's house during Pesach, and therefore it's now in the house of the Yisrael. So then even though you'll say, okay, but it doesn't belong to the Yisrael, what's the difference? The difference is that the very fact of the Yisrael chometz cancels the apotheke to the goy, and therefore it becomes chometz shavar lava Pesach, as if it belonged to the Yisrael. Okay, those are three cases. Benogea our Mishnah. Very straightforward, the problem. Benogea our Mishnah. The issue is that if the first Adin, who was the real owner, prior to the collection, obviously, of the owner that was meant to be the owner if he would have collected him, he never collected him. And before he got a chance to collect it based on his apotheke, the first owner goes ahead and frees the Eved. So now, the second guy who was meant to become the owner is messed up because he no longer has his lien, right? Okay, therefore, what is the Mishnah saying, says Rav? That actually, the Eved, this is not the Eved's problem. I mean, he is freed, and he was freed by his legal owner. So, you know, what does he owe? He doesn't owe anything. But, Mipnei Tikkun Olam, so now the Tikkun Olam, according to Rav, is, we are worried that the person who was supposed to collect this Eved and is furious that we managed to get his apotheke away from him, he's going to see that Eved walking down the street, and 5 years later he's going to say, hey, you bum, you're my Eved, and wave this shtar, you know, he's got this apotheke on the Eved. Meanwhile, the Eved is married, he's got kids, the kids are learning in cheder, my God, I mean, this is all we need. And everybody is saying, oh my God, these aren't real Jews. They were really avodim. This guy, a disaster. So Mipnei Tikkun Olam, we force the guy that had the apotheke in order that he can't meet him in the middle of the street and say, you're my Eved, Kofinat Rabo Sheni, the second guy who never collected him. He writes a Shtar Shechrur, which of course doesn't have any legal validity anyway, because he's not the real owner. And the Eved already is freed. But just so that the Eved can show, if the guy comes around and says, hey, you're my Eved, the Eved waves a Shtar Shichur at him and proves to everybody that he is not his Eved. So that shuts the guy up very quickly. But because of the fact that this gives a benefit to the Eved, What we do is we tell the Eved to write out a commitment, even though Shiraz Adini, the guy has no actual legal claim against you, but since you were Nene, by our forcing him to write you a Get Shichror, it's only right that you should be the one who promises to pay back the value of your Shichror to this second Odin that we're calling you, the guy who would have been the Odin. Whereas Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says, no, wait a minute over here. Why does the Eved have to write that? You know who should write that? The guy who messed up the apotheke. The Meshachrer writes that. Because, I mean, he was the one who killed the whole problem over here. Now, obviously, if the guy had any money, he has to pay him back the loan. That's not the point. He doesn't have money. So what we do is we tell him, okay, we want you to, even though there's already a note against you for the value of the debt, we want you to write him a specific new note to pay for the apotheke because of the fact that even though you don't have money, we don't want the guy that you owe the money to actually refuse. And he'll say, no, it's not real. It wasn't a good shikra. So we want you to pay. And therefore he has to accept this new note. And he can't have any kinds of tainus. Okay. According to this is one approach of Mishnah. We'll call this approach of Rav. So now what would the machlokas be according to Rav between the Tanakam and Shimon Gamliel? Be mazik shibuda shel chavero kamiflage. If somebody damages another person's lien, which is what happened over here. By being Mishachrer, your Eved, you damage the other person's ability to collect on his lien. So now the question is damaging a lien, is that the equivalent of actual damage? And therefore, Mar Savar, so Reb Shimon ben Gamliel holds that you have to pay him. And that's why Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says, why go to the Eved? Go to the guy who caused the damage, which was the owner of the Eved, the original guy who had written the apotheke and now messed him up. And Mashenke, the Tanakama, holds your putter. So over here, you don't have to pay him. I mean, obviously, you still owe him the money, but you don't have to pay for the fact that you damaged his lien. So therefore, in order to be fair, so we say to the Eved that he should write out a note promising that, you know, over the next 10 years or whatever, and through his work, he's going to be giving a portion of his earnings to pay back this guy for the Eved that should have been his. Itmar Nami. And yes, we know that there are others that understand that the meaning in the Mishnah of the Machlokas between the Rabbanan and Reb Shimon Gamliel revolves around particularly this issue, because it says, "Hamazik she'ibudo shel chavero." If you want to know what the halacha is about causing damage to somebody else's lien, the place to go is the Mishnah in Gittin, Daf Mem Aleph, which is the Machlokas, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, and the Rabbanan in that Mishnah. Okay, so apparently Rav was an established approach to the Mishnah, and the people were used to looking at this Mishnah to understanding the din of damaging leads. That's one approach. Now let's take a totally different approach to the Mishnah, Ula's approach. So Ula says, no. It's the second guy who was a liberal. So this second guy says, aha, so now I have an apotheke on this Eved. I do not believe in slavery, and I'm going to use my apotheke, my lien in this Eved, and I'm going to free this Eved. So he goes ahead and he frees him. Now, obviously, having an apotheke is not the equivalent of ownership. And the shichror is a joke. Who are you to be Meshachrer? You never collected the Eved. You just have a lien against the Eved, but that doesn't give you the rights of Shichrur. You're not considered to be the current owner of the Eved just because you have a lien against the Eved. Nonetheless, even though Shurat HaDin, even though by the strict legal meaning of the term Shichrur, that Eved is not chayev anything. That doesn't mean the Eved isn't chayev money, for God's sake. We're not talking about money. We're talking about chayev in mitzvahs. That's a totally different approach. So if you were really mishachar the Eved, then you would make that Eved Chayev in all of the Tariag mitzvahs, because he no longer is potter from a mitzvah asei shazman gorma, because now he's a ben chorin, and until now he was potter from mitzvah asei shazman gorma, because it's only chayev and mitzvah senanisha is chayevet. So meikar hadin, nothing has changed. His legal status is that he's still an Eved. However, mipnei tikkun olam, what's the tikkun olam? The tikkun olam is people, look, people are dummies. I mean, a guy went ahead, he's b'shakru the Eved. The Eved has this phony get shichur, which doesn't mean anything, because the guy who wrote the get shichur wasn't his real owner. But, I mean, you know, all the gossipers on the block, they don't know that. They know that this guy is a ben chorin, and he's not keeping mitzvahs. He never wears tefillin, a disaster. A guy doesn't go to davening. I mean, it's terrible in terms of society. So because of that, mipnei tikkun olam, Sharei Yatzalav, Shem Ben Chorin, people assume that he's a Ben Chorin because he has this phony get shichur. So therefore, what we do is we force the real owner is the original owner who had written him as an apothecate. And he has to be, write himself a get shichur. Voseo to Ben Chorin, so that he really should be a Ben Chorin. Now, what happens if the Eved was worth a lot more than the money that he owed this guy? So now we're going to be costing him money, right? Because he owed this fellow, let's say, $1,000. The Eved is worth $1,500. We're going to go ahead now, we're going to force him to be Meshachra the Eved. He's losing $500. Who is going to compensate him for those $500 that he loses by actually not being able to collect that value out of his Eved? Well, the Eved does. The Eved is Kotev Shtar Al Damav, and he promises to pay him the remaining $500, assuming, of course, that there's a difference in value between the loan that anyway he would have had to pay from the Eved, so you can lose that. And, you know, it's the other guy's fault for giving him a get shichur, so he doesn't have to pay him for that. And the $500 more that he would have had, the difference is paid by the Eved in a promissory note for the future. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says, no, the Eved does not write any kinds of shtarot. Why is it my fault? You went ahead and had to be meshachra me because of the other guy. It's the guy that did the stupid thing of writing me the phony get shichur. Huh? Indeed, says Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, we don't ask the Eved to write that promissory note. We ask the Meshachrer. He's the one that is Kotev. Okay, what's the machlokas, according to the way Ula is learning, between Reb Shimon ben Gamliel and the Rabbanan? Because this is like a totally different understanding of the Mishnah. The question is Hezek she'eno nikar shmei Hezek? Reb Shimon ben Gamliel holds that even though there's no measurable, in terms of what your eye would see, there's no measurable damage, I can't recognize it, I can't show you the difference between the status of the obdus of the person or the status of his being a ben chorin. Nonetheless, I like the Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, that's real hezek. And therefore, the guy who went and was Meshachra, well, he wasn't Meshachra. Really, it doesn't matter. But because of the fact that he was Meshachra, you ended up being unable to use your Eved. So he's the one that's responsible. Even though he could say, I don't know, he looks the same. It smells like chicken. It looks like chicken. So why not just keep him old as a chicken Eved? Well, says he, that's good for the question. Is the matrix enough to have to pay money for Hezek? Or do you claim in reality there's no Hezek? Well, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel holds, look, even though you can't see it, the guy is no longer usable as an Eved. Hashenkin, the Tanagama says, wait, I mean, I don't see any difference between what was before. So that's not considered to be Hezek. And because of that, the only way to get the compensation is by going to the person who was, in fact, the beneficiary of all of this. And at the end, that's the Eved. The Eved was the one who ends up going out the Cherus. So he should write whatever promissory note is required in order to pay back the loss to the guy that lost the difference. So why exactly does Ula not agree with Rav and Rav not agree with Ula? These are very, very different approaches. What leads Rav to say his approach is the accurate way to read the Mishnah? And what leads Ula to say his approach is the accurate approach? So Ula, my time, alo amar k'Rav. Ula says, I mean, because Ula is a little weird, right? Because, I mean, normally when we say chayav, we're talking about money. I mean, the whole issue over here was a monetary question. All of a sudden we're saying, eino chayav means eino chayav b'mitzvot. That's sort of funny, Ula. Wouldn't you rather have it work out like Rav, that we're talking about monetary chiyuvim? No, says Ula. I'll tell you why. Because how can you say that kofin et rabo, what is rabo? He's not rabo. Rabo is the first guy. The apotheke didn't make somebody else rabo. So sheni, rabo karita, I understand you're calling him rabo. I don't believe that the Mishnah would ever have done such a thing. And Rav, why doesn't he want to say like Ula? Because Rav says, how can you say that he was mishachrer, vishichraro? That's not shichrur. How do you call the second guy? The way you're understanding it is that the second guy wrote the get shichrur. He has no ownership that you could call him the shichrur. So obviously he's not the mishachrer. So therefore the only way to understand it is that the real owner was mishachrer. Okay. Now, Itmar, in terms of the dinim of apotheke, we need to establish very clearly what happens in cases where something was made an apotheke. Because, I mean, the question over here is, does he still have access to the other things that this person owns? Or does an apotheke mean you can only collect from the apotheke? How exactly does this work out? Well, here is an interesting case. A guy makes a field an apotheke, which means that now this person has a mortgage on a particular field to be able to collect. And all of a sudden, a river changes its course and now runs into this field. So this field is useless. All right. And that's Shatva Nahar is called. So now, Ami Shapir Noed. So there was imagine if you tried to do this today. So they would call, one of the Amoraim was called Beautiful Ami. So this guy was really a beautiful person. So they would call him Beautiful Ami. We'll see why we actually bring this up over here. So he said that Reb Yochanan said that Eino Govem Ishar Nechasim, if the apotheke was ruined, in this case Shatva Nahar, the guy has no recourse. He cannot go and collect his other things. Okay. Ve'avod Shmuel Amar. Avodishmuel says, well, what do you mean? The apotheke doesn't mean you can't collect from something else. It only means you have the right to collect directly from this, and you don't need to go through any type of court issues arguing with each one of the people who had bought a field from this guy before. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Nachman bar Yitzchak said, so I see, just because Ami is so beautiful, he has the right to say things that are not beautiful, right? I mean, this makes sense to you? The guy says something ridiculous, and you say, well, he's so beautiful, what can you do? That's crazy. So, Mishum da Ami Shapir, no, Omer Shpaitzer, the Lord Shapir, just because he's beautiful, he has the right to say things that are stupid. That doesn't make sense. No, says the Gemara, obviously, the idea over here is specific to one type of apotheke. Not all apothekes are this way. It's talking about over here, to Targem Shmaitetze, you've got to understand that what Ami was referring to was indeed something that makes sense. And what would that be? That he's talking about a case where the apotheke stressed, lo yehelecha piperon elamiso. So this is an apotheke which is definitive. This and only this is what you have a right to collect from. So in that case, if the apotheke got washed out by a river, so then eino chinami, because it was phrased that way, he does not have a right to go after other karkoos, and that means that we're not even arguing, right? So fine, there was no machlokas between the case, what Abu Adishmuel said and what Ami said. There's two different cases. There's an apotheke which is lo yelach apiron elamizet, and there's just an apoteke, which is an apotekoi, that you have to first go after this. So, I mean, the question is, if you have a normal apoteke, so that actually is very useful also, because if, let's say, the person who owes the money wants to pay you with something else, you can say, you agreed that you're going to pay me with this, and it was on that basis that I made the loan. So therefore, he has a right to demand the apoteke. But that doesn't mean that he can't go after anything else if he prefers something else. If he prefers something else, so then he can go after something else. That's a machlokas, whether if the apoteke is still available and wasn't ruined, is he mechuyev to take only the apoteke? That's a machlokas rishon. Okay, so now we have actually a brisa that makes that very clear. That we have two completely different types of apoteke. Tanya nami achi, how it says sadeo apoteke le'acher. Somebody writes a particular field as mortgage to someone else, and now it's ruined by a river, shatfa nahar, gove mishar nechasim. He goes and collects from other things. But imamarlo lo yelecha piron elamizo ino govem ishar nechasim. He doesn't have a right to go after other property. Tanya nami ita, and we have also. So I mean, obviously, if the guy has money, he has to pay. But if everything that he owns has been sold to other people, so then remember that the apoteke has made it very clear that if I, let's say, I'm coming along, and I want to buy another field from this person, not the apoteke. So when I do my due diligence, I actually find out at the land office that the first field, the better field, I'm not going to buy because this person has an apoteke on it. But I don't worry about the fact that this person may owe more money, and that doesn't bother me. Because I know that this person is going to go, first person is going to go after the apoteke. So memela, if I buy it and then something happens to it, I need to be protected. My protection is the fact that that apoteke said, lo yelecha piron elamizo. Therefore, the original lender who made the loan before I bought does not have a right to knock me out of what I bought. Whereas normally he would, if it wouldn't have been for that apoteke. Obviously, if the person who borrowed money has money, he's going to have to pay back if he's liquid in any way, or he has free property. That's something else. Doesn't mean I'm not going to pay you the loan. It just means in terms of the lien in which you're going to be able to knock out other people that are karka, that are not b'nei chorin, that you've got a problem. Now, another bright that says like this, Tani hirach, ha'oseh sadeo apoteke l'bal chov l'ptuvat ishah, Govin Mishar Nechasim. If, let's say, you sold out a soda that you had made as an apoteke, maybe to your wife as a ketubah, or maybe to somebody that you borrowed money from, so they have to go and collect from other property. Because you made an apoteke, it doesn't mean that you're not allowed to sell it. If you sold it, so then they're going to have to first take the things that were available afterwards. And therefore, you don't gain anything if the thing was sold. So the apoteke doesn't help you. Now, this is talking about, obviously, where you did not say, lo yelecha piron ela mizu. This is a normal apoteke. If you would have sold an apoteke where it's enecha ela mizu, so then even if the guy has sold it, you would have a right to go after it. Okay. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, Omer. Now, wait a minute. There's a big difference. You said two cases as if they're the same, but they're not the same. A ktuvat isha is not the same as someone that borrowed money. Because it's true that if you sold the apoteke, a bal chov can be actually, could put him into a position where he's going to have to collect other property that was available. So Balchov, Govem Mishar Nechasim, but a wife? Absolutely not. That is considered to be an apoteke that allows her, even though it was a normal apoteke, it's the equivalent of the apoteke Shaloya Lechapiron Elamizeh, if the husband sells that apoteke, the sale is completely bottle. He has no right to sell it. So a woman has more rights to an apoteke than even an apoteke which said lo yelecha elamizet, right? Because normally the apoteke that you give to a Baal Chov, even if it would say beferish, you can only collect from this, that is, does not mean that you can't sell it. You can still sell it. It's just the guy can go after it. But Tosfos says over here, if you sell it, the sale is canceled. There's nothing for you to do. So we are actually more restrictive on the owner, in this case, the husband, where the apoteke was made to a woman for her ksuva. Why is that? Because ein darka shel isha lechazer al batei dinim. Let's imagine a case where it was sold and we would allow the sale to take place. And we say to her, okay, honey, it's no big deal. You got to collect your ksuva. You know, your ex had 20 fields that he sold, you know. Go, you can collect from any of them. You have a lien on any of these fields. So what's the big deal if he sold your apoteke? Because the woman says, you got to be crazy. I'm going to go to court and I'm going to go to the guy who's got field number one. He's going to say, no, this is not field number one. This is field number two because he still had a free field before that. You know, prove that he didn't have a free field. So now I'm going to hire investigators, find out all of the land transaction. Me? I'm going to go arguing with 20 different people. I ain't getting into this marriage if I have to do that. So therefore, the meaning of providing an apoteke to a woman because ein darka shel isha lechazer al batei dinim, it is certainly not a norm that a woman should have to schlep into court and start arguing about this and about that. I mean, forget it. I'd rather not get married in the first place. So we understand that the apoteke in that case gives her rights to avoid that process, in which case the takana of that apoteke is that you as a husband cannot touch this property. Forget it. It's got to remain free and clear for her collection. If you try to touch it, it's bottle. You have no rights, therefore. Therefore, Tanya's Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, if you wrote an apoteke for a ketubah, you have nothing anymore to Tanya. And because there, it's clear, first of all, that it was an apoteke that was meant for a specific ability to collect. And not only that, it was meant to provide protection for a woman for needing to go after things in court. And therefore, it's even more powerful than the best apoteke we have under any other circumstances. And now we're brought to this wonderful moment, which we've been waiting for all morning, in which we hear the words of our Capitan as he stands over looking out across the sea from right there, he's right on the top of that ship, on the very top of the crow's nest. Go ahead, Sir Richard. We're going to need someone to mute over here. All right. So, again, we very much thank Doc for that beautiful Zukta Elika Mishnah. It was not for nothing that Zoom placed you right next to Richie. Apparently it worked, woo, like a charm. Quite amazing. Everyone is still convinced that I'm crazy. Okay, I'm telling you that this Zoom is sentient. There's no question about it. So, we have another Tikkun Olam that has to do with forcing the shichrur of an eved. And Yonatan should not think that we haven't noticed that he went into hiding. Of course we noticed. I just can't keep insisting. You know, but why does it have to be a choice between Elroy and Yonatan? I have no idea. Katani. Now, here's one of our most famous Mishnayos. We've had this Mishnah many times. In the event that somebody is a half an Eved and half a Ben Chorin, now, how in the world does that happen? The Gemara assumes on the outset that the way that that would happen is that he bought himself back, but he only had enough money for half. So he only bought himself back half of him, which would mean that it would be possible to be poda chatzi of the aved, right? If you had money. Or maybe it's talking about that the guy wrote him out to get shichur for only half of his avdus. Is that possible? All of that is going to be discussed in the Gemara. As you will recall, in the end, the simple explanation that avoids dealing with any of this is that the eved was owned originally by two people who had bought him, and one of them was meshachrer. That's exactly what it's talking about. In which case, he's a chatzi eved, chatzi ben chorin. It has nothing to do with whether you could buy yourself back or get half of the get shichur. So, whatever the case was, what would be the din? Tainus Beit Hillel, well, in order to make things work out, I mean, we can't have people at each other's throat, and this guy's saying, wait a minute, I need this guy to go to the store for me. And this one says, no, you can't have him. I need him today to do the plowing. I mean, that's a disaster. People are going to be killing each other. So what we do is we split up the week. The world alone. Mute. So what are we going to do? We split up the week. Every other day goes to every other owner. Ovedet rabo yom echad, vet atzmo yom echad. Divrei Beit Hillel. Says Beit Shammai, well, that's a very wonderful way to deal with the problems of the owners. Yes, very good. Dikantem et rabo, you've made things work out for the owner. But what about the poor Ebed? Et atzmo lo tikantem. He has no way of ever getting married. Can he marry a shivcha? Which normally he would be allowed to, but he can't, because half of him is now a ben chorin. And a ben chorin is also on a shivcha, so how can he marry a shivcha? Can he marry a bat chorin? Because he'll say, well, you know, my half of me is free. No, because half of him is an eved, and an eved is also for a bat chorin. Okay, so what are you going to tell him? You're going to tell him, okay, so don't get married, you know, save yourself from tzaras, yibatel. No, that's impossible, because halolo nivra olam ala lepiria verivya, shenamar lo tohu vira'ah, lashevet yitzarah. After all, the world was created only in order to be populated, and that's everyone's responsibility, and that would be true, even you'll say, okay, if he's an Eved, so then he's not Chayev in Peru Ravu, because a woman is not Chayev in Peru Ravu. So fine, so let him not get married. That's all very nice. But there's still the overall human responsibility of keeping the earth populated. So that's Erfiyat. And this is much more important than just the particular mitzvah of Peru Ravu. This is the object of a creation that was meant to be sustainable. So we need a sustainable creation. Ela mipnei tikkun olam. Therefore, Tainus Beit Shammai, for the benefit of the world, we have to be kofinat rabo. The remaining owner, the other guy who didn't want to free him, we force him to free him. Vosel to ben chorin. And Beit Hillel, in the end, agreed that's the only option. Chazru Beit Hillel, lahorot kidivrei Beit Shammai, and indeed, they agreed we force him. Tanu Rabba. So now the question is, how did this happen? How is the guy a chatzi eved? Assuming that the owner was meshachrer, half of him, what's the din? How meshachrer chatzi avdo? Suppose somebody gives a shichur to half of his eved. Is that meaningful? Rebbe Omer, yes, come out. The half that was freed actually becomes free. So he is a chatzi eved, chatzi ben chorin. As the Chachamim say, it's meaningless. You cannot free half of an eved. What is this based on? Omar Rabba, it's actually, if you understand that the whole machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachamim is only benogea ashtar shichur. So then it's very clear what the machlokas is. Machlokas is b'shtar. Because Rebbe holds that actually a shtar shichur is learnt out, remember, from a hekesh. Because we have hevda lo nivdata, getting back again, amazingly, as we always do, to the parsha of shivcha charufa, which is the parsha that addresses the underlying nature of the interrelationship of the kinyane momon and the kinyane iser. That's what's so amazing about it, is that it becomes now the gateway to the only real basis of full appreciation of the complexity of the Dinim HaRabbanim. So it says over there, V'havdei lo nivdata. So on the one hand, she's partially podui, partially not podui. Havdei, yes, but not lo. O chufsha lo nitan la. Or, it says over here, she never got a chufsha. And we know what a chufsha is, because the chufsha is la la meisha, says la. And it says v'katav la bagitin. So therefore, this chufsha is referring to a get shichrut. That means that the Torah puts together the kinyan of kesef together with the freeing through the shtar shichrut. So just like kesef, I mean, obviously, it says in the pasuk, you can have day partially, because the rest is lo niftata. So in the same way that kesef could be either a complete buyout or a half buyout, that's the same as chufsha lo nitan la. Avshtar nami ben kula ben chetzio. Therefore, Tainis Rebbe, a get shichrur is valid even if it's written on half of the evet. And the Chachomim, on the other hand, they say, well, wait a minute. Remember that it says chufsha lo nitan la, and la is the basis of the limud of la la miisha, because we learned that out from the Katavla Sefer Kritut. Can you give a get to half of a woman? No. A get, by definition, is a sefer kritut. It's either all or nothing. And therefore, either you give a get and you end the marriage totally, or you can't do anything. Well, the same thing is true over here with the evet. Either you write him a shtar shichrur for the entire avdus, or it is valueless. Therefore, say the Rabbanan, and there's no such thing as giving a get shichrur to half an evet. But, says Rebbe, when it comes to kesev, you know, I mean, obviously everybody would agree, it says, Heftolo Nivdata. And therefore, everybody is made that you could buy partial back and Divrei Hako, Peduyava, Ina Peduya, and that could be the case in our Mishnah. She bought half of herself back. So now, the way that Rava is explaining the Machlokas over here is a very fascinating question, because guys, listen, we have on the one hand, and it's the same words, right? Havdalo nivdeta and chufshalo nitan la. So on the one hand, we have a hekesh between pidyon, which is money, and the idea of specifically chufsha, which is shtar. That's a hekesh. But we also have gzereshava, because it says lo nitan la. And that's the la la meisha. It's like mamish the same words. So now the question is, are we going to follow the pasuk of la la, which is gzeirah shavah, or are we going to follow the hekesh in this pasuk directly? What do you say? How do you like that? Seems to me that that's the machlokas, that Rebbe holds that I go for a hekesh in the place where I have an alternative meaning in the gzeirah shavah. I'd rather learn it out from the hekesh. Whereas the Rabbanan hold, no, I'd rather learn it out from the gzeirah shavah. Wow, that is a very fundamental question. So the gzeirah shavah being as it's a limud, that is mekubal mi-Sinai, whereas a hekesh does not have to be mi-Sinai. So I take the gzeirah shavah over the hekesh. That's what the Rabbanan seem to hold. Says the Gemara, no, not necessarily. It may be that everybody agrees that gzeirah shavah, because of this, is adif over hekesh, but here it's different. Because Shinei Haka, Rebbe says, in this case, you don't say that the gzeirah shavah rules out a partial get shichrur. You know why? Because I can tell you that the gzeirah shavah wasn't meant to cover this issue. Because fundamentally, a woman has absolutely no monetary relationship at all. And therefore, since a woman could not go out with kesev anyway, so obviously for her, there's no such thing as a comparison to kesev. Masha'in kein an eved, who has an alternative. There's two different issues. There's hefta and there's chufsha. Behevda is money. The chufsha is a shtar. Why would I say that in that case, I should apply the same category of chufsha to an eved who is capable of partial monetary yisya as I would to an isha? It's an inappropriate application of the concept of the law. So maybe this is a special case. Anyway, this is Rabba's approach. Now, let's take a look at Rabbi Yosef's approach. Rabbi Yosef says, I disagree. I say on the contrary. The whole machlokas over here is whether you can buy out half of an eved. And that is a question of how I understand the pasuk. Is the meaning of the pasuk of the hafdo lo nivdata, does that mean that she's half and half? Rebbe says, yes, hafde lo nivdata means she was partially bought out and partially not. So you see from here that she can be a part shifcha. Whereas Rabbanan say, that's not what it means. Don't you know elementary Lashon HaKodesh? Whenever you repeat a term like that in Lashon HaKodesh, it simply means totally not. So Heftel lo nivdata means she was totally not p'tuya. It doesn't mean she was p'tuya, but she wasn't p'tuya. That's ridiculous. Dibra Torah kelashon b'nei Adam. If somebody wants to say totally not in Hebrew, how would they say it? Oh, Heftel lo nivdata at all. Right? Okay, that's what it means. And therefore, there's no mocker in this pasuk that you can be a half paduya and half lo paduya. Nonsense. So the Rabbanan hold dibra Torah kelashon b'nei Adam. But that's only b'nogea the kesef. When it comes to a shtar, everybody agrees. Of course, you can't write a partial shtar. It says lo la mi'isha, which defines the shtar shichur as the equivalent of a get isha. A get isha is nonsensical if it says, I'm giving you half of a get. Same thing is true over here. No one in their right mind would say such a thing. It asks the Gemara on Rabbi Yosef, Meisve. There's a braita that says that if someone is meshachar half of his eved with a shtar, it says with a shtar, okay? Rebbe says kana, v'chachomim omrim lo kana. So, forget about Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef claims that everybody holds that a shtar doesn't work halfway. Well, obviously that's not true. Over here it says beferish. Rebbe argues even in the case of meshachrer b'shtar. Ah, now wait a second over here. You're right. This shows that Rabbi Yosef is wrong, but it only shows that he's wrong about that part of his statement, right? That Rebbe says that, oh, you certainly can't do that, because he's murdered the Chachamim, that lo kana. Rebbe says he is kana. But there was another implication from this braita that you guys are actually ignoring. Why don't we say like this? Smashba in this braita that the only machlokas between Rebbe and the Rabbanan are benogei ashtar. But if it would have been done bekesev, everybody would agree that you could have made a half of an evet by buying back halfway with kesef. That would show that Rabbi Yosef is wrong on both counts, because Rabbi Yosef also said that actually, when it comes to kesef, it's a machlokas, and over here it's mashma, it's no machlokas. Everybody would have agreed. So, limit have it to you to Rabbi Yosef b'tarte. Does this prove Rabbi Yosef wrong across the board? Amalekha Rabbi Yosef, come on, guys, have mercy. I mean, I understand that I'm half to you to it. I mean, you know, stop bashing me. I'm only half to Yufta. Because, I mean, it doesn't prove over here that they don't argue with Kesev. I say they argue in both. I wasn't wrong about the Kesev part. And about that, I say they argue. And I maintain that they argue. So you'll say, well, if that was the case, why did they focus specifically on a case of someone who's Meshachre Bishtar? If it's exactly the same b'shtar b'kesev, Rabbi Yosef, why mention the shtar? I'll tell you why. Because the reason that we don't talk about it, specifically by shtar, is because we wanted you to understand how far Rebbe is willing to go. Rebbe's willing to go so far as to say even a partial shtar, which you think, that's crazy. That has to be like a get isha. Even there, Rebbe argues, and he holds that you can actually give a half of a shichrut. Well, I mean, that's all very nice, Rabbi Yosef. Why don't we have the machlokas with Kesev to teach me how far the Rabbanan would go? That the Rabbanan say that even when it comes to Kesev, I mean, isn't that a wonderful chiddush? It is, but I'd rather show a chiddush of Korach De'atera and Korach De'atera Adifle. I'd rather tell you, let's talk about a shtar. Let me show you the guts that Rebbe has to say it's actually usable even as a shtar. It doesn't show any guts to say you got to do the whole thing. I mean, anybody can say that. So that's always called Korach De'atera Adifle. Tashma. And actually, this new approach of Rabbi Yosef, okay, they argue with shtar, but they also argue with kesev. This new approach actually seems to be true based on this brisa, tashma. The brisa darshens the pasuk. On the one end, it says, v'havdei, on the case of the pshifcha harufa. You might think that means that she was totally v'havdei, and that she was a complete paschorin, and af al piken. Since she was only a shivcha that was freed, so she doesn't have the normal status of an ashes ish, and you only have to bring the korban, so you might think it means totally. No. It's only because she's not completely hafta, lo nivdata. So you might think lo nivdata means at all. She's a total shivcha. And nonetheless, since she's allowed to be together with this Eved Ivri, so that's considered to be a marriage to some extent to bring a korban? No. Talmud Lomer v'Hafdeh, there has to be some level of kedushin that is chal on her. Her ketsa, it's got to be that she is both peduya, but also at the same time enabit to peduya. Was that done? Bekesev, Rebbe Shabbat Kesev, she bought herself out or someone bought her out halfway, right? Now, this only proves to me bekesev. How do I know that it's possible to be mishachrer and eved with a shtar? Talmud Lomar, hevdal lo nivdata, o chufsha lo nitanla. And I know that chufsha refers to a shtar because since it says v'katav la sefer kritut, and here it says chufsha lo nitanla, that proves to me ma'ala halan b'shtar, just like a woman gets a get, so too an eved gets a get. So the shivcha gets a get. So now, all I know is that you can use heftal lo niftata means partially podoy ve'ino podoy. That's when it comes to money. Or I can give a complete get with a shtar. But where would I know that you can even give a half of a shtar? That is to say, you can make a chatzi shivcha with a shtar. Chetzi b'shtar minayin. Talmud lomar, by putting the two together, just like the kesef can be done, ben bekulo, ben bechutzio, chetzio avshtarnami, ben bekulo, ben bechetzio. Now look, this proves Rabbi Yosef, because it only works out according to Rabbi Yosef. As Bishlama, the new Rabbi Yosef, after he admitted that he was wrong about saying that everybody agrees, that, no, okay, fine, I've changed my mind. So now we argue in both cases. So then this works out beautifully according to Rebbe. Both Kesef and Shtar actually work halfway. But the way Rabba explained everything, isn't this a little weird? Because the first part of the Braita, which says that you could do Heftal lo niftata with money, that's true, Bein l'Rabbanan and Bein l'Rebbe. Masha Inken, the Seifa, that says that you can even use a shtar is only true according to Rebbe. Shouldn't it have said Rebbe Eimer? Amalacha Rabba. What's the big deal? No. So the Brisa didn't care to say only Rebbe Eimer. Reishit Ibrako, say for Rebbe. I'm not impressed by that problem. Rav Ashi says, what problem? Who problem? Why do we have to say that it's some other Tana that should have mentioned Rebbe Eimer? Maybe this entire Brisa was stated by Rebbe. That's all. There's not somebody else. So Rebbe is telling you his opinion, whether we're talking about Kesev or whether we're talking about Shtar. That's all. Works out beautifully. So Rav Ashi Amar, this is Rebbe. So now, wait a minute. What about our Mishnah? So then our Mishnah, which says, Misha Chetzi Eved V'Chetzi Ben Chorin, I mean, according to Rabba, okay, it can go according to anybody. If it's talking about buying herself back the Kesev, everybody agrees, but according to Rabbi Yosef, you're telling me that the Mishnah is referring to an impossible case, and the case only works out according to Rebbe, that somebody could be a Chatzi Eved Chatzi Bet Chori? Because only Rebbe holds that that is possible. Bein Bekesef Bein Beshtar. So is it only our mission is only Rebbe, not the Rabbanan? Rebbe, what's the problem? There's no problem. It doesn't have to be a buyout situation. It doesn't have to be a partial shichur situation. Our Mishnah is referring to a simple case where originally two people went out and bought one Eved and are sharing that Eved. And then one of them gave an entire get shichur, which is exactly the same as a get. What do you mean? He only gave a get shichur to half. No, he gave a shichur to everything. Everything that he owned. Everything that was his Eved. That's a perfectly good get shichur. Nobody would argue about that, for heaven's sakes. So therefore, everyone would agree that in such a case, of course it's okay, because you gave the get to everything that was your relationship to it. And that's the equivalent of giving the get entirely as a sefer kritut to all that is part of your relationship. Therefore, the simple explanation of our Mishnah, without getting into all the rigmarole of arguing whether it's possible to have a partial buyout, or can you have a partial shtar, but meanwhile, it's a great excuse to examine again the parsha of Shivcha Charufa and to see how beautifully the interrelated issues are, and the Gzeres Shava and a Hekesh functioning together in the same pasuk, absolutely beautiful poetry. How could we resist using the Mishnah for that? But then when it comes to Mishnayos for Dummies, this simple explanation is always the best.